Run Radio.
I'm going to go ahead and say drinking games are overrated in general. I don't need a game to drink.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
You have to find the ping pong ball. The ping pong ball rolls under the couch. Then you have to go under the table and get it. It goes under the couch. It goes under the table. It goes under the wrong place. Some idiot steps on it. Then you have to find a new thing. You got to dunk off the ball. If you're playing with actual beer, the table gets all sticky and gross.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
You got
to
set the table up properly. You got to, like, put down some pillows or some towels.
Like, you're putting your pillows on a towel where people are drinking in your house? Throw those away.
Not like your bed pillows, like some couch pillows. Or
and then you're laying your head on. I lay my head on my couch pillow when I go home at night.
On 1340 WKGN.
You know what my drinking game is? See who can drink the most and the winner doesn't have to take care of himself.
Hour two of the program coming at you live in the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports, Knoxville. Got any headlines for us?
I do. It's been kind of a slow news day, as we pointed out earlier, but there are a few things going on. Here's a story that I've seemed to find interesting last night. Bizarre story. Apparently, somebody has been trying to get inside information on both Alabama and Auburn. The teams both stayed at the Marriott Marquis Hotel in downtown Atlanta.
That's weird, right? That they're both staying at the same hotel? Or is that common?
Well, it was a week apart. So, Auburn obviously played in the Peach Bowl New Year's Day. Alabama played in the playoff or in the national championship a week later. So they both happened to stay at this really nice Marriott. I'm assuming it's a nice Marriott. While they were there, so Alabama defensive line coach Carl Dunbar, he had a backpack stolen out of a conference room on the Saturday before the national championship game. In this backpack, there was a defensive playbook along with two cell phones, a laptop, and some cash. So normally you think, okay, well, maybe it's just a coincidence, whatever. It just happened, right? Well, when Auburn stayed at the hotel the week prior to that, an unidentified person tried to steal a defensive staff member's laptop from the hotel. So one of Auburn's coaches or, defensive staff member, one of his laptops, they tried to steal it. The person apparently was stopped before they could run away with the laptop, but they did manage to get out and to get away without being actually caught and detained. So unless it's just a crazy coincidence, it kind of seems like, because they're going specifically for these defensive coaches' items or where, a laptop, a playbook.
Like, yeah.
Unless it's a crazy coincidence, which it could be. But
have they caught anybody yet?
No, they have not. Like I said, the person was unidentified. So they have still not caught anyone. It's just a wild story to me, though. First thing I thought was it's got to be a Georgia guy.
Could it just be a fan?
Could be, but I like to be reckless.
That's fun.
I'm thinking it's
Georgia.
Hey,
look, you're the one with a journalism degree. Not me. It's not reckless for me. I never claimed to be a journalist. You're the one that's worked that field before. Be as reckless as you want, buddy.
I used to be
a
journalist.
You think it was Kirby Smart?
Could be. I think it was a Georgia defensive staff member. If I'm a journalist, I'm like Hunter S. Thompson.
Okay.
I definitely put myself in the story.
Okay.
It's like the opposite of what you're supposed to do.
So you think it was a staff member?
I mean, what other team? I guess an SEC West team, maybe. But, like, who's trying to get info on Auburn and Alabama, and who's that close to Atlanta? That's the thing.
I think it could just be fans. My vote would be it's just fans, crazy fans.
Could be.
That want to be a part of the team.
I bet they're Georgia fans, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Because like you said, well, I guess a West team, all the West teams play a time a year, both of them.
But it's in Atlanta. That Georgia was playing Bama for the title. They played Auburn for the SEC title. just seems like a Georgia. Maybe it's just a fan, but maybe that fan stopped by Kirby Smart's office.
Do you take it if you're Kirby?
Yeah.
You take it?
For sure. How can you not? I don't know.
Because you got respect for Nick Saban.
I don't know. Kirby knows so much about
their defense anyway. That's what I'm saying. Do you even need it?
Yeah, right.
I mean, I feel like those teams basically knew exactly what the other person was going to do. It was all about execution. Other than the whole, I'm going to bench my quarterback type of thing.
The fact that it had two cell phones and cash in there, too, though, that's kind of interesting, that part of it. Like, the two cell phones. Like, if this was just some crazy fan, though, I mean, you're talking about an Alabama D-line coach. I would like to go through his phones, just see what.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Maybe it's the NCAA.
Now we're talking.
Maybe the NCAA had a guy on the inside. Going to bust Alabama. I don't know. Just a wild story.
All right. I like that one.
Okay. LeBron James says the Cavs are fragile after their back-to-back blowout losses. Kind of led off with that one today. But LeBron was quoted as calling his team fragile.
LeBron called his team fragile?
We're in a funk, he said.
Oh, they 100% are in a funk.
Once again, we're back to the beginning of the season. Just got to find a way to get out of it. We're so fragile. I don't know where it kind of went wrong or what happened to switch back, but we've got to try to pick it back up and find it.
It happened. I'll tell you what's kind of happened. From what I've noticed, and I watch a lot of Cavs games, from what I've noticed, Isaiah Thomas coming back kind of hurt him. Isaiah Thomas coming back has hurt him so far.
They got to get back in that groove.
He's not good right now. I don't know if it's just because he's rusty. I mean, that makes the most sense. Or if it's because he hurt his hip and he's not going to be the same player. Like, because he's, what, 5'9"? Mm-hmm. He's 5'9". So his margin for error isn't much as it is. Like, he has to be a physical guy going to the rim, being able to get up over people and shoot. Like, being able to hang in the air type of thing. Last night, he started the game, I think, 0-for-11. Finished 2-for-15. He's shooting 35% since he came back in. And great, it's been four games, whatever. And they've actually won two of the ones he's been back in, but they beat Portland and Orlando. He played against Minnesota. They got beat by 30. He played against Toronto. They got beat by 30. From what I've noticed, putting him back in the starting lineup, and I think you should have eased him in off the bench, that seems to be a part of it. And the other part is just they're not very good. Now, maybe they're just not motivated. But they're just not good defensively. And J.R. Smith, I mean, if you want to get really into it, J.R. Smith's having a bad year. He's shooting, it was like the second lowest percentage ever as a player, scoring the second least points ever. But you feel bad because J.R. Smith, he had a whole thing in the offseason when his daughter's born really premature, and he had a whole thing with that. So you're hoping that, you know, he's just kind of in a funk and he'll work himself out of it as well. But right now, if you ask me if I'm taking the field or the Cavs to come out of the East, I'm taking the field.
Because the field would include the Celtics.
Yes.
And that might be a solid bet.
Celtics look good. They sleptwalked through most of that first half yesterday in London. And the second half just completely dominated. They're a good basketball team.
You remember yesterday I told you about Matt Rhule interviewing for the Colts job?
Yeah, the Temple coach turned Baylor coach.
Yep. Well, he has reportedly turned them down. According to the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Rhule has informed Baylor he intends to stay with the school after interviewing for the Colts job. He signed a 7-year contract with Baylor when he was hired to lead the program out of the dark shadow cast by sexual assault scandal, Art Briles. Okay. So apparently he turned down the Colts. That's basically the story here.
Do we believe that?
That's what Ian Rappaport says.
I mean, does it seem like Matt Rhule turns down the Colts, or does it seem like Matt Rhule wasn't going to get the job, so he said, hey, I don't want the job?
You would think it would be the latter, right?
I mean, yeah, that's what makes sense to me.
Because you're thinking you'd probably rather go coach the Colts than the Baylor Bears.
Yes. 100%. You're not turning down an NFL job to stay at Baylor. You're just not.
Doesn't make sense.
Like, if you're going to interview for the job, you want to be an NFL coach. I don't see Baylor being able to be like, hey, here's some more money. You did such a good job going, what, 3-9, 2-10, whatever the hell they went?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, like, I'm not buying that at all. He interviewed. They probably told him thanks but no thanks, or he hadn't heard from him. He wasn't getting the job. Everything I've seen says they're set on Josh McDaniels. And that Josh McDaniels wants to go there once he has some kind of feeling that Andrew Luck's going to be healthy.
Maybe the most interesting story going on right now on the internet.
I mean, by the way, the Patriots have to worry about Brady versus Belichick, and both their coordinators are leaving, both looking to be head coaches. Seems like they'd be pretty distracted this week. Good chance for a Titans upset. I'm going to come up there and shock the world. Everyone's distracted, fighting, worried about me. What about my next job? Titans are up there going as a team. Shock the world. Feeling good about it. Patriots will probably eke out a win 27-24. Maybe a late touchdown. Maybe like 27-20.
41-17.
We'll be right there, 27-20.
This story here has just kind of come to surface. It's trending currently on the internet. ESPN's Stephen A. Smith has commented on Jemele Hill and Donald Trump and that whole thing. He said, when you attack him...
No, let's catch a break. I want to talk about that story in depth a little bit. I haven't seen it, but I want to give it enough time to breathe. Because if you... Is that good? You got another one?
Yeah, no, that's good with me. I was going to say one more thing. You want to know one more? It's not sports. But Jeff Bezos is now the richest person of all time.
I thought he already was. Like, I know it fluctuates a little bit with worth, but I thought that happened like last year.
Maybe it did. But
did someone pass him and he repassed him?
I don't know. But he's officially now, again, he reached $105 billion, according to Bloomberg.
I should have ordered my Titans hoodie from Amazon because I ordered it from the NFL shop. Two-day shipping. I ordered it Tuesday at 1 o'clock, 1:30 when I got off the air. Two-day shipping. I paid extra. Still hasn't gotten here. I got an email saying it'll probably be there by Saturday. I'm going to be in New England Saturday, NFL shop. Freezing. Should have ordered my hoodie from Amazon. It already would have been here.
NFL shop probably knows that. They're probably like, this guy wants to wear this to the game Saturday. Let's delay it.
Stupid idiots. All right, let's catch a break. Come back. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Fox Sports Knoxville proudly broadcast from the Mountain View Chevy Studios. Keep in mind, I say it all the time, I want to ingrain this in your mind. When you think Chevy, think Mountain View Chevy. Because it's not a Chevy, unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. And they are the home of the low price promise. That means they will meet or beat any advertised price, or they'll give you the car for free. Located at 310 East 20th Street, right off the I-24 exit in downtown Chattanooga. Check out their selection, mtnviewchevy.com. Remember, it's not a Chevy, unless it's a Mountain View Chevy. Cody, you got that last headline. There's few people in sports that if you say their name attached to something, I'm going to want to hear about it. For me, Stephen A. Smith is on that list. He had a nice rant against the Wizards yesterday. I enjoyed it immensely, where he talks about how they can't act like they've arrived and take games off and all this because they're not that good. And he just had a nice, impassioned rant about it. He talks about how he wants to be in the booth on Monday Night Football. He wants to take John Gruden's place. I'm all for it. You say Stephen A. Smith, I'm going to want to hear it.
Well, Stephen A. Smith has a message for Jemele Hill. And he said, when you attack him, talking about President Trump, then we are stepping out of our lane. So it was almost sort of a stick to sports type of thing, because he went on to say, according to Michael McCarthy, he said, whoever Michael McCarthy, who is Michael McCarthy? I don't know.
I know Melissa McCarthy.
It wasn't her. She is not reporting this. Apparently,
you think Melissa McCarthy's cute? Yeah, I think she is for a bigger girl.
Yeah, I was going to say.
She kind of does it for me.
In a big girl kind of way.
Not like when she's at her biggest, but when she lost the weight a little bit.
In a big girl kind of way. Kind of like Amy Schumer. You think she's... She seems nasty, though.
Yeah, no,
like,
I was going to say, Amy...
She's very vulgar.
Yeah, no. She's... No, no. A part of Amy Schumer's... a part of Melissa McCarthy's appeal is that she seems so sweet in real life. Amy Schumer's the opposite. No,
Amy
not
Schumer's
like Amy
more
Schumer.
Up my alley. I feel like
that's
I would,
disgusting.
I feel like I would get along with Amy Schumer.
I wonder how people feel though. Who's more attractive, Melissa McCarthy or Amy Schumer?
I think
because sometimes
Amy,
they, like both of their weight fluctuate a lot, but like when Amy's weight is good, okay, she's not that bad.
And
Melissa McCarthy, like at her best, is still you know a pretty big old girl.
If you take away the nastiness,
no, you can't take the nastiness.
Well, no, I mean the personality. You just looks alone. I think it's Amy Schumer.
But you can't go just looks alone. You can't be that misogynistic of a pig. Like you have to take in personality into it as well. In my opinion.
Well, I mean, if you're just, it depends on if you're just going by
looks. Answer the question:
so.
Who you got? Who would you rather?
I'm going with Amy Schumer.
Who would you rather go on a date with? Maybe kiss on later. Who you got? You got Amy Schumer?
I'm going with Amy Schumer. I'm going to pretend she didn't say all that nasty stuff about, you know, what is that? Go back to Amy Schumer. Ben's got
photos. Ben's
making
the case
up.
For Amy Schumer.
It's pretty clear Amy Schumer, according to Ben's photos. She looks good in that picture. You see
so
that?
So you're saying Ben slam dunk Amy Schumer?
Not even close.
I think it's easily Amy Schumer just based on looks. I mean, like.
You found the best picture of Amy Schumer on the internet. There's
I'm
plenty.
I'm trying to find good ones of Melissa McCarthy. There's just not that many.
She's a sweet girl, though.
How about Queen Latifah? I'm looking up the hottest plus size celebrities. Queen Latifah?
I would take her over Amy Schumer.
I think I'd take Queen Latifah over McCarthy.
I think Queen Latifah likes women, though.
I think McCarthy's dropping to my number three. Adele?
Oh. Well, I mean, Adele's number one on the list.
Adele's
number one on the list.
Adele is
well, I mean, of the ones we've given so far, maybe there's more you could pull off out of nowhere.
Monique, Tess Holliday?
No, not Monique. No offense to Monique.
Tess Holliday, Jill Scott. I don't know some of these girls. Mindy Kaling?
Is Mindy Kaling considered plus size?
Apparently, yeah. Who's that? Is that McCarthy?
Mindy Kaling's considered plus size?
Apparently. Ashley Graham? Right now, Ashley Graham's number
well,
one.
Ashley Graham's like a model. That's
Ashley
not,
Graham.
Ashley Graham's a model. It's different.
Ashley Graham is clearly the number one on
yeah,
this
but
list.
She's a model. She doesn't count.
But she's a plus size model.
Yeah, but she's a model. She's not just a she's
Adele?
Not just a celebrity. She's a model.
Boomer's yelling Adele.
Yeah.
Ashley Nell Tipton? No thanks. McCarthy's number five on this list.
Okay.
Number four is Karina Behrens. You know
who's
her?
That? So I mean, turn around.
She's also a plus size model.
Well, those don't count. You can't
well,
be a model.
They're celebrities.
That doesn't count.
They're
models. It's different rules.
Okay, so we got to go actresses. Kelsey Olsen.
Actresses or singers?
Yeah, celebrities that aren't models essentially.
Tara Lynn.
Because even plus size models are small.
Ruby Rocks. She's a model.
Okay, this is a terrible exercise. Let's go back to Stephen A.
So anyway, Stephen A. Smith.
I'll say all that to say that no on Amy Schumer. Pass.
I forgot where we're at here.
We're passing on Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah, this Michael McCarthy guy. That's how we got to this. I guess he's a reporter. I don't know. Anyway, so Stephen A. said ESPN is a sports network. You become successful. You sustain a level of success by giving people what they expect by, figuratively speaking, playing the hits. That's a variation of what ESPN said when it suspended Hill, reminding employees that tweets may not reflect negatively on the network. So the way that Stephen A. puts this, stay in your lane. He's not necessarily saying...
So he's still in LeVar Ball's catchphrase?
No. I think it's a little different. I think he means just as a network, like he's saying almost.
He's saying just talk about sports.
Almost he's saying stick to sports. That's kind of what he's saying. But I do understand what he's saying, though, about ESPN. He says it's a sports network. you become successful, you get to that level of success, and then you play the hits. So, like, you think of the old rock bands, right? It makes me think of, like, they're not playing their new stuff. They're playing stuff from the 70s because that's what people want to hear.
That's what Garth Brooks said right at the beginning of his concert. He played one new song. Everyone's like, okay, sure. Man Against the Machine. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm not playing my new stuff. You guys came to hear the hits.
Right.
Which is true. Which is true.
It's the same with any great artist, I think.
I don't know.
I don't know how that translates to sports networks, but I kind of get it.
So Stephen A. tells Jemele Hill to stop talking about Trump, essentially?
Basically. He says we are stepping out of our lane when we attack him. Of course, Stephen A. goes on to talk about Trump, and he says, like, you know, he believes the president's been a bit juvenile in his behavior. So Stephen A. says don't talk about him, then he proceeds to talk about
Stephen
him.
Stephen A. Smith, the voice of reason, at yeah. ESPN, always knew it.
It's from a Washington Post article. Oddly enough, the Washington Post does not have any rankings of plus-size celebrities.
I'm really just shocked that Mindy Kaling is considered a plus-size celebrity.
She's the girl from The Office.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, unless I've missed her recently.
If you don't include the models, I don't even know how to... It's got to be like Adele, Amy Schumer, Queen Latifah. I don't know.
We need
Kathy
more.
Bates.
Find me a young picture of Kathy Bates. Like, obviously now she's too old. Find me a young picture of Roseanne.
How about Stevie Nicks? Can she be considered a plus-size celebrity now?
I don't know. Like Rosie. Back in the day, Rosie. She used to do it for me. Six-year-old me loved Rosie.
Young Kathy Bates wasn't nothing too special.
All right, I'm going to bring on Kyle Tasman from 247 Sports. He wants to talk some NFL playoffs with us, help get you set for the weekend, and I'll ask him to tell me how the Titans are going to have a chance to win this game. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program, got Kyle Tasman from 247 Sports on. He is an NFL writer and a dear friend of mine. Let's bring on Kyle to talk some NFL playoffs. Kyle, first of all, thanks for joining the show. Second of all, what's the biggest game of the weekend?
I think it's got to be Vikings-Saints. Just in terms of the matchup and the difference between the two teams, you have one team that's so dynamic on offense, the Saints, in terms of what they're able to do, you know, running the football. And then you look at and certainly with Drew Brees, then you look at what the Vikings have in terms of their defense and the players they have on that side of the ball. I think that's got to be the most fascinating matchup of the weekend by far.
Vikings 5-point favorites right now. Week one they play, they're one of the Monday Night Football openers. Vikings kind of control that game. Obviously, that's whenever the Saints were still trying to get Adrian Peterson somewhat involved. That's the game where he goes crazy on the sideline. How could the second matchup be different than the first?
Well, I think that 5-point, I think that's a little bit kind towards the Vikings, honestly, because the way that I think that the Saints right now, a lot of people like the Vikings, obviously, you know, especially with their seed and everything. But for me, I think the Saints might be the most balanced team right now in the NFC. It would not shock me at all to see them be the representative out of the NFC to, you know, win the Super Bowl. I think they're playing that good of football. And the thing is that they're not a team that is entirely dependent on their running game. So you obviously have Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara, but that's not all that they have. Obviously, they have Drew Brees as well and Michael Thomas on the outside. I mean, that's a team, you know, when Drew Brees has the experience at quarterback, the interesting thing is on the flip side. So then you look at the Vikings on offense. They've been good. Pat Shurmur's done a great job with Case Keenum at quarterback. He's really tailored that offense, you know, towards his strengths, which aren't many. But, you know, he's played great football this season. There's no question about it. But the thing is that even now there's still question marks over who the backup is, who even the starter is. There were some question marks about whether Sam Bradford, now that he's back healthy, would he take over the reins again?
Yeah, I saw where he's dressing. Is Sam Bradford dressing for this game?
Yeah, he's not going to start. I mean, right. There's just no way you can do that. But the thing is that offense, you know, you look at how well Marshawn Lattimore has played on the outside. He's going to be matched up with Adam Thielen pretty much the entire game. But, you know, Stephon Diggs is also obviously a huge threat. So for me, you know, I think that the Vikings have more questions on offense. You know, I think that the Saints are probably a little bit more balanced as a team, despite how good that defense is. You know, they can beat you on offense in a million different ways. It doesn't have to just be those two running backs. You know, if anything, you know, Drew Brees, that just takes pressure off of Drew Brees, that, you know, to allow him to go out and make the throws that he needs to make. So for me, I really like the Saints in that game, as difficult as it is, and, you know, against the Vikings. But, you know, both being dome teams, I think it's going to be definitely a good watch.
They talk a lot about Marshawn Lattimore as kind of, you know, helping turn that defensive around. But what I saw last week was just Cam Jordan being a man. Like, he blew up that drive.
Oh, yeah.
He blew up that drive kind of single-handedly on that third down play against the Panthers as they're trying to get, you know, that game-winning touchdown. He just manhandled the tackle and then manhandled Cam Newton. Watching him against that Vikings line, which is, you know, improved from last year. But like you said, Case Keenum, all year long I've said I don't trust him in the playoffs. I think the Saints defense is disruptive enough to keep this game close, if not win it. But my question in this game, last question for this game, would be, if the Saints couldn't run the ball against the Panthers, what makes us think they can run the ball against the Vikings?
I think it was more of a schematic thing. I think that they'll be able to turn it around. I mean, the thing is that I think you have to look at the trend of the entire season. They might not be able to run the football as, you know, efficiently against the Vikings, but they'll definitely be able to get plays out of their running backs. That's the biggest thing for me. You know, that's a team that isn't, you know, as good as the running game has been all season. The running backs in general are both players that can make plays in the pass game, especially Kamara, as everybody knows. But so for me, you know, even if you're throwing the ball to run it, I mean, there's so many ways that they can spread you out and get those running backs involved. I mean, for instance, if you want to use, you know, swing passes or screen passes, you know, things like that, you know, which are technically throws but are effectively used as running plays. I mean, there are different ways to get that, you know, those two backs, you know, to get them involved and to have their mark in the game. In my opinion, that's, you know, just my case. But one other person on that Saints defense to keep an eye on, a name that Tennessee fans know well for the wrong reasons, is Von Bell. Had a great game against the Panthers. It was huge on that final drive as well. So keep an eye on Von Bell. He could be in for a big one.
I like the Saints in that game. It sounds like you do too.
Yeah, I do.
Stay in the NFC. A lot of people riding off the Eagles with Nick Foles. Falcons come in as a 3-point favorite in this game. For the first part of the week, I thought the Falcons. Now I've kind of come back around on the Eagles. Where do you see this matchup with Nick Foles playing quarterback?
The thing is that Nick Foles played so poorly in that final start that they put in Nate Sudfeld. Nate Sudfeld was a guy who was on the, you know, the Redskins practice squad and wasn't, you know, deemed good enough to stay there, so they let him go. So for me, you know, if Nick Foles plays terribly and Nate Sudfeld comes in, I don't think there's any question. But, you know,
also didn't matter to the Eagles. No. So, like, they tried to let Foles play the first half. He stunk, and then they just went ahead and pulled the plug on it. I don't think he's in danger of getting benched or anything.
No, I'm just saying, you know, if he struggles early, it wouldn't shock me. You know, it wouldn't be the most shocking thing in the world. I like the Falcons. I think that they've got the playoff experience, and they don't have, you know, as much pressure as the Eagles have on them. That's the biggest thing, is the Eagles have so much pressure riding on them after such a good season, and the players wanting to prove that they're not just the Carson Wentz show, which I think they are. You know, the defense is obviously, I think, one of the best in the NFL in terms of stopping the run and everything like that, and everybody knows how good the Falcons' running game is with Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. But for me, you know, I just think the Falcons, that experience that they had last year, that heartbreaking 28-3 loss in the Super Bowl, I think they've got, you know, so much to prove that to everybody that they weren't just a one-year wonder, even though they did struggle a little bit in the regular season. So for me, I like the Falcons. I think just the experience factor of being there before, you know, Julio Jones is a matchup problem for anybody, let alone the, you know, whoever they're going to throw at him, that Philadelphia's going to throw at him. And then Matt Ryan, I think, is good enough to certainly get the job done. So I like the Falcons in that game.
See, with that game, I feel like it was just a matchup issue. I thought Atlanta's defense was too fast for Los Angeles' offense. And then you saw, you know, some of their receivers drop some balls. This Eagles team's, you know, can handle being a little bit more physical than what Los Angeles tried to do. I don't know. It feels like to me the Falcons tried to prove their point last weekend by beating the Rams. I kind of think it's going to swing back, and the Eagles are going to have their little kitchen sink game where they try to throw everything they can at the Falcons and kind of salvage this season. I kind of think they'll win this game and then lose next week.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's more than possible. The thing is that it depends on, for me, if they try to do that early, if they really try to come out and say, we're going to throw everything we have at this, if it doesn't work, where do you go from there? You know, that's the biggest question mark.
That's
so
that's always it's a huge
risk-reward thing. You know, how are they going to play that game if they're going to actually do that? Are they going to come out firing on all cylinders? Are they going to try to get their foot in the game first before they actually come out and, you know, open up the playbook and then do some of the things that they haven't been doing since Carson Wentz got hurt?
Hey, Kyle, I've got a prop bet in on the Saints and the Patriots to make it to the Super Bowl. Do you think that's a good bet, or do you?
I like that, honestly. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you go wrong on the Patriots, obviously.
Hey, go to hell.
I'm sorry. But the Saints, I've been high on the Saints all year, you know, especially, you know, once they started getting Kamara in. I know that might be, you know, homerism, you know, as a Tennessee guy, but you know, the thing is that offense, they're just so much more balanced than they have been in years past. I mean, it used to be the case where it was sort of like the flip side, you know, the NFC version of the Indianapolis Colts when Peyton Manning was there, where the offense was so good, but the defense was just so atrocious that they couldn't get things done, you know, in the postseason. But this team feels a lot more balanced. I think they're there. I think they're close to putting, if it's not this year, I think that definitely they'll get one more year. Drew Brees a free agent. They'll get one more year. It could be next year. But I like that bet, honestly. I think you're pretty safe there. It's a good call.
Hey, cool. Kyle, we had a little discussion. Who do you think the most attractive plus-size celebrity is?
Oh, that's a really good question. What's the definition of plus-size?
Well, that's what we're trying to debate, because one list had Mindy Kaling as a plus-size celebrity, and I don't feel like she's plus-size. Like,
I'm thinking of...
I would go with that... Who was that redheaded girl on Mad Men?
The redheaded girl on Mad Men. Google her, Cody. The conversation started between Amy Schumer versus Melissa McCarthy. I said I would rather date Melissa McCarthy.
McCarthy?
Over Amy Schumer. That was my take.
Christina Hendricks.
Are we sure? All right. I don't want to get in trouble on the radio, so I'm not going to ask the question I was going to ask. But
Christina Hendricks is the plus.
Yeah.
She's
Christina Hendricks.
She's.
Was she in Bad Santa too?
I'm not sure.
I didn't see that.
She's pretty. I don't know how plus size she is, though. She doesn't look too heavy.
She's more voluptuous.
Yeah, she's
just busty. She's not
very busty.
She's not. I wouldn't consider her plus size. Although that was your question, like, you know, where do we draw the line? I guess.
Yeah, that is the thing. Is that the line needs to be drawn? You know, are you talking about just from an average person's point of view, or from like a celebrity point of view? Because a celebrity point of view, someone who weighs like 130 would consider themselves fat. You know?
Great question.
I'm thinking there's got to be an appropriate height weight ratio. Like,
Like
if you set the weight at 160 and 5'2", that's probably plus size. But if it's 160 and
5'7",
right? Yeah, exactly. But if it's like 160 and 5'7", okay, maybe that's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends. You know, I think that Mindy Kaling's not bad. That's not a bad call.
So you had,
you know, her personality. You got Amy
Schumer. So you got Amy Schumer over Melissa McCarthy, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Melissa McCarthy just reminds me of Roseanne. So that's just no.
That's one we forgot.
A clean version of Roseanne, though.
Yeah, well, a version of Roseanne that also likes guys, because I don't think Roseanne does.
Any predictions in the AFC? I know you got the Pats. What do you see in Jacksonville?
I feel bad saying it. Pats. I'm going to say Pats on that one. As for the other game... You know, the AFC is so down this year. You know, it's been one of those, besides, you know, really the Patriots, the Steelers as well. You know, it's been so up and down. I mean, the teams that everybody thought would be up there, you know, the Oakland Raiders, for instance, a team that a lot of people thought could even actually win the AFC, you know, just really didn't put it together this season. You know, they even didn't have, you know, the success that was certainly, you know, don't even get me started on the John Gruden hire. But, yeah, you know, I don't think there's going to be any surprises. You know, I'm thinking it's probably going to be, you know, Steelers-Patriots moving on to the next round. And, you know, so much for the AFC South this year, I guess.
Eh, well, two in the final four of the
back,
AFC.
Though. Yeah, hey,
two,
bounce back this year for the
you know,
AFC
South. My take from a couple years ago that the AFC South would eventually become the NFC West, it's looking a little stronger. It's rounded in. If these quarterbacks can get healthy and Luck and Watson, I think the AFC South will
of
be
course.
Really good the next three or four years.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I mean, when the division is so bad for so long,
yeah.
I mean, obviously they're going to be able to stockpile the
right.
talent necessary to turn it around. The issue with those teams is re-signing them.
Yeah, you know? And so, you know, that's what the Titans will run into with all their offensive linemen. Who knows
yeah, exactly.
What's gonna happen
the
there.
Re-signing issue is the problem there. But yeah, you know, I think that the – what is it, 13 for the Patriots?
13 and a half.
Minus 13?
13 and a half.
13 and a half. I think that's a little bit – it wouldn't shock me to see them get blown out of the water, you know, by well more – you know, way more than that. But I still think that – I like the Titans plus 13 and a half in that.
Well, that one, I'm headed up to go to the game. If we cover the 13.5, I'll be a happy person.
Yeah, I mean, that person. Would be a great showing. What's your take? Here's a question for you. What's your take on Mularkey then for next season?
I'd be okay with Mularkey coming back. The players seem to love him. I still would like some coordinator changes. Like, Dick LeBeau's been fine, but he's going to be 81, 82. Like, and Robisky,
yeah.
Robisky didn't help Mariota all year. So, like, I'm fine with Mularkey as the head guy because every time you see – a post-game interview, is the players love him. The players always say they're winning for him and playing for him, and they say that he's the reason this thing got turned around. I don't know if I believe it, but I'd be okay with Mularkey coming back. I would like to do something
else
on offense.
Yeah, I think that's the thing,
though.
Is that especially in the NFL, they say that the coach that knows the most, you know, on an NFL roster is a special teams coach, you know, because they have to know every single phase and every single aspect of the game. But, you know, that's why you see guys like Dave Taub getting, you know, offered jobs and interviewed all the time. But for me, you know, you know, that's the thing, is that the head coach doesn't really need to be as keyed in as opposed to if the coordinators got their jobs locked down, then the head coach can kind of just coast. So, for me, that's the biggest thing. They just got to get Robisky out of there. He's so bad.
Got a nomination for both Miranda Lambert and Trisha Yearwood. Miranda Lambert's a good nomination for plus size.
Yeah,
celebrity.
Miranda Lambert, Dad, that flies. That flies. You're going to have me start Googling this.
Well, Cody's been Googling, and he came up with, like...
Trisha Yearwood will cook you breakfast, though. Have you seen
Garth? She fattened Garth
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Garth's like 300 pounds.
I think he started working out and has lost some of it. But, yeah, for a while, he got pretty big. He got pretty big.
What about like, Kim Kardashian? Does she count?
No. She
yeah.
Count. She's
I think
not
she,
plus size.
Are you serious? Have you seen her?
She is not plus size.
She's plus size.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What about, like, Oprah?
Yeah. Oprah's what about like Kelly Clarkson?
New yeah, Kelly is plus size for
one.
Sure.
Mariah Carey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mariah. Yeah. I mean, Mariah's gotten thicker the older she's gotten.
Adele.
I'll
that
tell
was
you who's
one.
Gotten bigger. I'll tell you who's gotten bigger is everyone's childhood crush, Jessica or Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Oh, is she plus size now because she's the winner if she's bigger now?
Yeah, she is. She's looking looking a little bit bigger.
Oh, she's well, I don't know. Well, I don't know if you can call her plus size though.
Let me check her out. Oh, yeah, the recent images getting close. Not a bad nomination by you, Kyle Tasman. Tell the people where they can
Thanks.
Follow your work.
Yeah, they can follow me, Kyle_Tasman. Pretty much all your listeners probably already see me on Twitter anyways.
Yeah.
But you can see me watching Redskins on 24/7 Sports. Videos, articles, you name it, it's there.
Okay, Jennifer Love Hewitt, I got to throw a challenge flag. Apparently she just had a baby. That's different.
Ah.
She said she's working off post-baby weight.
Kyle, I saw that you
in
guys...
In 2016, May 2016, is that still considered... I don't know. I'll give her a
you
pass.
You only get 6 months if you're famous.
I'm giving her a pass.
All right.
I don't know if she's actively working. I give her a pass.
Okay, pass it.
Last question from you, Cody. You said
no, I was just going to say congrats. I saw you guys, I believe it was Alan Bell last night. I saw you guys were like number 8 in web traffic.
Well, for interactions, yeah, for Facebook, social interactions, stuff like that. So
yes.
I've gotten to a little bit of an argument with Breitbart on that one on Twitter. So I'm sure if you Google that, you can find it somewhere.
Nice. Appreciate the time, Kyle. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in.
Yeah, I saw that last night. I was kind of surprised. 24/7, I mean, they're up there with, like, the top, like, New York Times, CNN, Fox News, all the major engagement, like, clicks, you know what I mean?
They do a good job, man.
Yeah.
They do a good job. We think of them as just college football, but, dog, Kyle writes for the NFL. They got some NBA writers. I mean, they cover everything. They do good work. Go check them out, 247sports.com. It's more than just college football recruiting. That's, you know, so much we just talk about in recruiting terms.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, here on the beat, you got Callahan handling the beat. Like, we think of that. But they do so much more.
Look at this picture that Chris tweets in of Ashley Graham.
She's attractive. She's also a model. I got to throw the flag.
I know, but, man.
I'm throwing the flag. I got to say incomplete.
Yeah.
Incomplete.
Man, oh, man.
Well, Cody's done for the rest of the day. He's going to be Googling pictures of Ashley Graham. We'll be back on the other side. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville. I want to take this time to remind you about the East Tennessee Fishing Show. It's coming into town January 25th through the 28th at the Knoxville Expo Center. That's on Clinton Highway. It's the largest event dedicated to fishermen in the Southeast, and it's been doing it for over 30 years. And they got something for every level of fishermen. Professionals, seasoned, noobs, people like Cody McClure who can't even bait his own hook.
You see all these? You see my shirt?
You are wearing a shirt with a bunch of lures on it.
An avid fisherman.
Okay, I apologize. Well, maybe it's me who can't bait the hook. That's not true. I can do it. I could do it too. Ben Lee. Ben Lee, can you bait a hook?
Ben Lee?
You a big fisherman?
Not like a huge fisherman, but my grandparents have had a lake house.
So you probably can bait a hook.
I can bait a hook.
You can
bait
a hook.
So, lake house. You've been to a lake house.
I've been on the lake. I've fished.
Oh, look at me. Humble brag. My grandparents got a lake house.
Yeah.
Ooh.
They live on the lake.
What lake is it?
Fort Loudoun.
Nice. Oh. Can't hide money.
So, the Tennessee River. So, basically, so, yeah, that's got to be, yeah.
Well, check out the website, easttnfishingshow.com. On Twitter at FishingShowTN. Did you see where the loser parade in Cleveland? Everyone was mad about it. Well, it did some good. It did some good. Raised $17,000 and over 70,000 meals that will be provided to the Cleveland Food Bank. That's solid, right? That's how you turn a negative into a positive. Right? No?
I think so, yeah. 70,000, you said?
70,000 meals.
It's a lot of meals.
It is.
Who did that again? What was that?
The Cleveland fans, the Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns.
I knew you weren't listening. That's why I was waiting to see if you could fake it.
Why did the Browns?
You're still over here Googling plus size model.
No, I'm trying to figure out what Davey's talking about. Davey's asking us if he got hacked.
Oh, someone put... Davey left his Twitter up, and I sent a tweet out saying, oh, my name's Davey, and I'm a stupid idiot, or I'm so stupid.
Oh, it was you?
Yeah, but I said it wasn't.
Nice.
Got him. Do you see what the Panthers are doing? They hired North Turner as offensive coordinator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the rest of their offensive staff?
No.
You want to know who the Panthers quarterback coach is?
Yes.
North Turner's son.
Okay.
You want to know who one of the Panthers' offensive consultants are?
North Turner's cousin.
North Turner's brother.
Okay.
Guess who the assistant quarterback coach is?
North Turner's daughter.
North Turner's nephew. Close.
Okay.
Close.
So they're just making it a family deal, huh?
I think those guys were already on the staff, and then they just brought North Turner in to be the OC.
Just bring daddy in. So are those, like, that's kind of weird.
That's really weird.
I mean, I feel like the continuity would be good. I mean, make it a family deal, you know?
I guess if I'm Ron Rivera and I just like defense, I guess just leave it to the Turner family and get out of the way, right?
Yeah. Are all those guys, so, I mean, I'm obviously, all those guys are already coaches? Are
yeah.
They, yeah.
Yep.
It'd be kind of weird to just bring in, like, this is my nephew, Bill. He's an accountant. Yeah. He's going to coach safeties. Like, I mean, you know. Yeah.
Now, that would be fun.
It would be.
I need somebody in my family to get a good job and then just give me the job that I don't deserve. Just something I don't deserve.
Any industry?
Yeah, any industry.
Have like a stockbroker uncle. He's like, hey, you want to come to Wall Street?
Yeah, I'll be a CEO.
Sure, I'll make some calls.
President of accounting. The chief financial officer. Something.
Just put you into a role. Secretary of Education.
Yeah. Now we're talking.
Be like Betsy DeVos.
Now we're talking.
Wasn't that her name?
Is it DeVos, DeVoe? I don't
something
know.
Like that.
I didn't know if the S was silent.
Yeah. She's like, I just remember her for being.
Did you think of that because we were talking about Cleveland earlier and you were thinking about terrible places? Poop holes, as Donald poop Trump holes. Called them?
I'm just trying to think of people who were in jobs that they didn't, like, you know, they just got kind of put there. She came to mind as someone.
Yeah, I mean, it always happens in politics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just President Trump. It happens all the time in politics, it feels like.
Yeah. Poop holes.
Then, yeah, that stuff yesterday where he talks about the immigration from terrible countries and then dropped an explicit. And then we were asked to, you know, rate that should be our power rankings. I was just going to make it terrible places. I didn't want to make it like countries because I don't know enough about countries.
Oh, I know a lot about countries.
Like the bad ones, you know which ones are worse? Like you can rate like the worst countries in the world?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, what's number one?
I feel like they're all probably like in Africa.
Okay.
Just because of the fact that there's the area is so – there are parts of Africa that are so, you know,
uh-huh.
Like they don't even have water. It's right. Sad. It's like, you know, Ethiopia –
right, but I don't know how to differentiate any of those. And that's my point. Like, how do you power rank those?
Mozambique.
Yeah, you don't know anything about Mozambique.
Zimbabwe.
You don't even know if those are bad.
Sudan.
You're just being very reckless right
Chad,
now.
Chad. Madagascar.
Madagascar is the movie made about it. They're not poor there. So I wasn't going to do that. I was just going to make it like the power rank, like the worst places to be.
Republic of Congo.
I was going to be like number one.
Well, it's got to be Africa. The reason I say Africa is because there's so many. Like,
I was just going to make it like number one, the dentist office.
If it's Africa too in South America.
Still
like,
want to stay on this Africa thing, huh?
Well, no, I'm thinking Africa, South America.
Uh-huh.
You've got all the, like, I watched this thing on Netflix last night about South Latin America. And you just have jaguars just out in the woods attacking people. Like, you just go out in the woods to get a bucket of water. Go down to the stream, get some water to boil, and you get mauled by a jaguar. In Africa, they got lions, they got tigers. Like,
they got bears?
No, I don't think there's any bears. There's probably some kind of bear. I don't know. Not like we think of, though.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.